Hello and welcome to another episode of This Expat Life. I am back in a digital studio with a guest, someone who I have personally worked with before several times and who has helped me greatly in my professional success, if I can say that. I think I can. And this is because sometimes it's very difficult to put into words what you are doing. But to find the right words is very crucial if you are an entrepreneur, but also if you're an employee looking for a new job or showing your expertise to the online world or to your boss. So being good with words and being able to translate what you do into concrete ideas is essential for your career, no matter where you are and what you do. And so today I invited a guest who is excellent at doing this, who has helped me and several others as well. I'm joined by Ashley van Heiningen, who is a communication strategist and who is going to give us some tips about what you can do for your professional, personal brand as an expat. Welcome, Ashley.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Thank you for the great explanation. And I was also thinking, since Dutch is my native language, I wonder how my talent in finding the right words will translate to English, but we're here and I'm very excited. So thank you for the invite.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you can help us with some general ideas, exercises, tips, or strategies. And you've also helped me with putting, what I do into words also in English. So I think it will be fine.
I hope so. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe let's start with, why do you need to have a professional personal brand online?
Good question. I think that having a personal brand, especially online, is super important, especially if you are very ambitious, career driven. Does it really matter if you're an entrepreneur or you're just a corporate tiger who wants to just keep climbing? I think it's very important that people know who you are and they associate certain topics with you. So for example, if you are really into sustainability or into fashion or whatever your thing is, so to say, you really want people, when they hear the word fashion, to think of you and not of someone else. So that's why it's really important.
Yeah. And if I may add to that, I think especially as an expat, when you have like a fragmented CV, it also really helps to have something that tells your story in a very powerful way. So you can always present yourself no matter where you are, really.
Mm-hmm. I think that's indeed very important, because you're saying as an expat, you have a fragmented CV. Do you mean that expats tend to have very varying positions that don't always seem to make sense together?
Yeah, that it shows up in different ways. One of the ways is like mm-hmm. that. I certainly had that because I did a wide variety mm-hmm. of things. But also sometimes as a trailing spouse, you follow your husband or your wife to another country and then mm-hmm. you have a gap on your CV. So that's also sometimes difficult to sell. Sometimes because you're not allowed to work in that country, or it's just really hard to find a job because you don't speak the language. And maybe you had a career, strong career in your home country, and then there's a gap. So you need to be able to present that really well in a compelling way that makes people go like, oh, actually, this, I want to hire this person.
Yes, yes. Well, now you're saying that, I immediately think of ways you can tackle that as an expat. So once you're ready, we will dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I'm ready. So if you want to shoot away, go ahead.
Okay, good, good. So basically, what I would advise someone in that position, especially when you've done so many different jobs that don't really seem to make sense together, maybe because they are in different fields or different professions, I would really make it really personally, or make it personal, I'm sorry. So for example, what is your way of working? I know this example might be a little bit corny, but just to be an example, maybe you are a really great team leader, or you are a really good team player, or maybe throughout all of your jobs that you've had, you found out that you are a great communicator, or you are very analytic. So I would suggest really zoom out a little bit and don't only look at the practical things that you've done, But take it a step further. What are your soft skills? And you can build a personal brand around that as well. So people still associate you with something that they might need in a future person that they will hire.
I love this. Yeah, this is great advice. Often we are so focused on like the content of our work or the field that we worked in, but actually it's the soft skills that you bring to the table and that you can create your whole story around it. Yeah, I love this.
Exactly. Yes. I would definitely advise that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I often hear from my coaches and from the people that I speak to is a fear of showing up online, and mostly on LinkedIn, because on LinkedIn is where everyone, you know, everyone is so professional and looking at you, and they're really afraid to show themselves beyond like, hey, I got a new role and thank you so much for everyone who worked at my previous role, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And so, one concern that they have is they want to remain professional, and they want to have a more polished look of themselves on LinkedIn. And so they're torn between, okay, what can I show personally or a bit more that brings in a bit more attention or shows a bit more of who I am, while also remaining professional and a bit polished. So what can expats do, or people in general, obviously, to find that balance between showing up authentically while also having that professional element to it?
That's a really great question, especially since you linked it to LinkedIn, because it's something that I recognize in myself as well. And the funny thing is that this is the first week ever that I've been scrolling on LinkedIn a little bit more, and I've been thinking about posting my first post probably 3 years ago, and there's still nothing. So if you're listening, I understand you a lot, and you're absolutely not the only one. If we go back to the question, I think that goes for any social media platform. And well, Amanda, you follow me on Instagram, so you know I'm not afraid to show myself at all.
Yeah.
But that was a journey as well. So I will speak a little bit about that, especially with the professional part. I'll keep that in mind, because I started as just a regular content creator who would just show up unshowered and share what I was going to do for the next 24 hours. And then I had to make the shift. Like, now I'm trying to sell my services, so I don't think it's that good of a look to not brush my teeth and take a selfie.
Yeah.
So I do understand how to merge the two elements and still be yourself. What I would suggest first is this. Have you ever, and this is for the listener, have you ever thought that being authentic and being an authority or someone who is very professional actually go hand in hand? They go really well together. Often we think that if you want to be a professional, you want to be seen as someone who knows stuff and who is, you know, dependable and we can trust on a certain topic, that we have to keep ourselves and our personality out of it and really become this Wikipedia page of that topic that we are trying to sell, so to say.
Yeah.
But on social media, and it really doesn't matter if it's LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you prefer, YouTube even, that's not the case at all. If people want like a clear explanation of your topic, they will Google it and they will look at the Wikipedia page and they will ask ChatGPT, please, can you tell me the X amount of elements that have to do with X? So you're really not there to be that kind of person. It's actually your personality that makes it professional. Otherwise, it's really bland, actually, and you won't really touch people in the way you could if you dare to show a little bit about yourself. And it really depends. I think you have to think about, what do you want to show of yourself? Obviously, you don't have to show everything, and it's really okay to keep certain parts of your life or certain parts of your character to yourself. Don't become a sellout, I would say that. But really think for yourself, what would I actually be okay with if people knew that? And I think it starts from there. It's actually a really personal question the more I think about it, and there's no really one answer that works for everyone. I think it really starts with, what do I want to show and what am I absolutely not comfortable with? Mm-hmm. And the absolutely not, don't even bother, just don't do it. It doesn't matter. There's lots of other things you can show.
Yeah, I agree. There are parts that, I mean, I'm very open on Instagram, especially also my podcast, but there are parts that I don't show, like my love life. No one knows what's going on over there because I don't want to involve other people in my personal brand. Yes. And other than that, I'm very open, and I've really learned that the more you do it, the less big it becomes in your mind. And I can understand that a lot of people who are not yet so present on social media, if you ask them, what are you comfortable with that other people know of you? And they might be like, well, if my friends know this about me, it's totally fine. But if that person, you know, Tom from finance, from that company, sees this on LinkedIn, ooh, that's scary. So I do want to make the distinction that sometimes in your head, you might not be super comfortable with, whereas in fact, from an objective point of view, it's totally normal. So I always like to find new role models if I want to try something out, but it feels scary. So I actively look for people who are already doing what I secretly want as well, that I still feel fear around. Yeah. So if you are...
That's really, really good.
Yeah. So if you are that person who wants to be more on Instagram or on LinkedIn, find some people, find Ashley on Instagram, find me on LinkedIn that are already doing that so that you see, hey, it's actually quite normal and people respond normally to it. And I like it because I feel connection with them.
You can absolutely model people's behavior. That's a really good one. And the funny thing, because you mentioned Tom from finance, is that when you really think about it, it's usually only a few people that you're actually scared about.
Yes.
So we're making it very big, like, I don't want anyone to know this about me. But when you think about it, the only thing you really don't want is your ex-boss to see it because he's a prick. I'll just say it. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a good
one. That's okay. It's a safe space here.
Okay. You don't want Tom from finance to see it. You don't want your neighbor to see it. And those are the three people that you really care about, that you absolutely, that are holding you back. And when you put it like this, LinkedIn as well as Instagram and all other platforms have a beautiful unfollow and unfriend and block button. So that's how I actually started. I remember when I really started making content, I created a separate account for myself. And I felt like, I'm just going to do it. Everyone who used to follow me, I know this might not be your cup of tea. I'm not going to promote it to you all. I'm just going to start here. If you find me organically and the content speaks to you, you're welcome to follow me. But I'm not going to do it here in this space where I have all my friends who have not, you know, asked for me to share all this stuff. So that really helped me. And then the blog button, sometimes people would start following me, and then I still felt like, no, this is not for you. And I would just block them, because if you know your purpose, your goals, and why are you here online, what message are you trying to send out? And also, why is this important for my life, for your life, if you're listening? You just have to block them, because there is no way in the world where they should be able to control you like that.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree. Yeah, that's a really good tip as well. Okay, so we tackled the fear of showing up online, but what if you actually want to start and you're not an entrepreneur? So I know very clearly what I want to talk about and why, also because you helped me. But if you're an employee, either you want to talk about your career, you want to present yourself in that way, or you want to do something just for fun, more about your personal life. Like, what should they include? What should they focus on? Where should they start? Do you have any tips for that?
Absolutely. I would actually start by thinking, why do I want to make myself more visible? And that could be for many reasons. Maybe there is one specific country that you want to move to because they have this big headquarters where you would like to work for this specific company. Or maybe you would just like to have more projects in a certain topic that you would want to be hired for. Maybe you want to get to know a few people somewhere in a specific field because you need them for a project you're already working on. think about, first of all, what is actually your goal? Because when you know your goal, it's always easier to reach it, because you can just reverse engineer and try to figure out what are the steps you have to take to get there, right? So start with your goal in mind. That would be the first thing. And then the second thing is start to think about, what do you want to be known for? And like we already said at the beginning of this episode, it can be many things. It can be actual hard skills that you have, but if those don't really seem to make sense, it can be soft skills, or it could be a topic of interest. So I already said the word sustainability, because that's always the one that comes to mind when I think about this. Maybe that's just something you find really important, and the role that you have within a company doesn't really matter, unless or as long as you can bring the lens of sustainability to that specific role that you're having. So think about, what do you want to be known for, and what kind of work do I want to put out? And start from there. Think about, okay, well, this is my topic. I'm going to assume you know a lot about it. And from there, start thinking, okay, so what's the first thing I would like to share with my audience?
Great.
This.
Yeah, this is really important, knowing why and what you want to, why you want to do it, and what you want to bring forward. And so let's say they have those two ticked off. What makes good content?
That's a good question. There's a lot of things that go into making good content. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the YouTube channel by Mr. Beast, but he is making... Okay, well, maybe if someone's listening, you might know he's currently, I think, the most subscribed YouTube channel, and he gets like 50 million views in 30 minutes. So what makes really good content? He has that really down to a T, and it's a lot. However, I don't want to make it difficult, because that can also be a reason not to start or think it's difficult. I think when it comes to personal branding, I think the key word is personal. So if something made you feel something, if something happened and it did something to your emotions, you can almost be certain that it will resonate with someone else's emotions as well. And I think when the goal is to connect with people, have people to pay attention to you, get to know you, I think emotion is always a good starting point.
Yeah, that's
it's really a good starting point. Yeah.
I'm also thinking about what you taught me as an entrepreneur. Like, I want to have like my main results, what I do with my work. And then we identify that, we put words into it, because that was so difficult for me. I know I have magic in my work, but to put it into words is just like, oh, it's so hard, because everyone is so different, the people that I coach. And we created some sub results, and you taught me to link my personal things to those results in a very subtle way. So would you also suggest that to people who aren't maybe entrepreneurs, but to remember like their what, or what they want to be known for, and that you also link that in a subtle way to your, in your content?
Yeah, I think so. And I've been writing about it a little bit more actually today. And what I think is really important is that you just show, how do you think? How do you make decisions? Why do you make them that way? So it's, like I said, you don't want to become this Wikipedia page with no soul, you know? Yeah. So the best way to connect with people and share your passion with them and be someone who, you know, gets recognized for that is when you make it very personal. How did you come up with this idea? What happened? What is the context of where this passion started? And then to make it a little bit more specific on what you were asking, if you really start to pay attention, you will find that during the day, you usually do stuff that is really in line with the personal brand you want to portray outside of, you know, your own aura, so to say. So when you start to pay attention to stuff like that, you really have this beautiful starting point of like, hey, I was walking my dog and this happened. And then you can start to use that as a starting point. So it's very personal. And then you get right into the business of what you're actually trying to say. So you really make the, you use the personal actually to state the professional part.
Yeah, I really like this. Actually, I do this obviously also as well. I was towards after the gym, I was walking back home and I was working with a personal trainer. And then I realized, oh, actually, what I'm experiencing in this personal training is also what coaching does to you. And so I use that, you know, that my own personal activity as a hook to explain what I do in coaching as well.
Yes, and that's the perfect example of content that builds on your personal brand because it's actually personal.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I think what you're saying, every coach could have said that, you know, the analogy that you made, everyone could have made it, and everyone, every coach would probably come to the same conclusion. But because you linked it to your personal experience, even if it's as small, so to say, as hey, I was with my personal trainer and this thought came up, that's what makes it you, and that's what makes some people to learn from you, and other people might think not for me, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think to make it a bit broader, you know, I often talk about running and I have my things that always come back in my daily life, my cats also, and people start to recognize you for it. So if you link those personal things to the business, like those personal hooks get recognized by people. And like you said, you attract and you repel people, you attract the right ones, you repel the other ones. But also, I think because I run half marathons and marathons and I train all the time, I'm not a super fit girl, but people recognize that also in my energy, like, oh yeah, you're someone who has the eyes on the goal and you go for it.
Yes.
And so that running energy also is translated or to my energy or the other way around.
Yes, like definitely. Yeah. So that's really about something I always say, and that's be your own biggest example. I don't know if it translates to English like that, but what I'm saying is it's really easy to talk about what you think and why you think them, and that's good. But I think a great personal brand is someone who actually lives their vision. So to come back to sustainability, it's beautiful if you want to work towards sustainability. And granted that nobody has to be perfect, it would be a little bit weird if you would get a private jet every country you go, you know, so that then wouldn't line up. But just be the biggest example of what happens and the good that happens when people align to your vision, and be show yourself as an example of that.
Yeah.
Then you also don't always have to talk about your topic, and you still make the associate, people will still associate it with you.
Yeah, I love this. You mentioned a couple of minutes ago, like some questions to ask yourself, like, I can't remember what they were, but maybe like, what, why did I take this decision? How did my thinking go? Just to wrap up this interview in a minute, but do you have any other prompts that people can use to create their first content for their professional personal branding?
Oh, that's a really good one. Okay. I think the easiest one, but maybe it's personal, but for me, the easiest one would be just share where you are right now. What's going on in your career, in your life? At what are you at a crossroads? Have you just found your passion? Like, what's going on right now in your life and in your career? If it's a first post, I would probably start there because it's just really easy, really personal. You don't have to make up stuff. So that's where I would start. And then I actually have to think about journalism. I think it's been a long time ago, but I remember the few the questions like who, what, where, how, why, I think. Those are the questions. And I would, if I had no idea what I would have to post, I would base them around one of them. So for example, if we start with a who, you can think about back to the goal, like who do you want to attract, right? And maybe if you start there, you can think like, hey, what would I want to say to this person today? What would I want them to know today? What happened to me today that I absolutely want to share with this person? Then you go to the what, and that could be obviously many things, but let's say the what is your expertise. You can think, hey, what's something that most people don't know about sustainability, but they absolutely should know? Or, hey, what is something that most experts say, but I don't actually agree with? So those are questions you can ask yourself. Where can be like, you know, where were you today? It sounds really silly, but people love personal stories. And especially if it has something to do with your personal brand, maybe you were at a seminar or, you know, anything that could be relevant. So I would start there.
Amazing. Yeah, these are really good prompts. Thanks. I always ask a final question at the end of the interview, and I forgot to tell you this, so I'm going to get you off guard. But I always like to ask my guests, what is your number one hack to make living or traveling abroad easier or more fun?
Okay, I'm going to be very honest. I have zero wanderlust whatsoever. My last vacation was to Laren, which is in the same province I actually already live in. And then the vacation before that was to Liège in Belgium. So I have actually zero wanderlust whatsoever. But what would make my life better traveling is try to make sure you can sit in the lounge or the lounge, I don't know, you say lounge. At the airport. Yes. So if that's possible and if you have the budget, definitely I would do that. I've done it a few times and now I feel like I'm broken because I don't want to sit at a regular place anymore. But obviously I don't always, I obviously fly economy as well. But that just made traveling so much better for me. It was quicker, less overstimulating.
Yes.
So that actually, and then something I've learned also, but I guess many people already do that, is really take your time with the luggage and don't try to rush it in 1 hour and just try to put everything in your luggage and rush out, but just do a few things every day leading up to moving. But I feel like everyone who's listening has traveled way more than I am. So probably they should have to give me tips on this, and then I'll keep to the communication advice and then we're good.
Yeah. Well, thank you anyway for your honest answer. And actually, they might know this already, do this, but it can also be a good reminder for them. And I wholeheartedly agree with both your tips. I love lounging at the airport. It's my favorite activity. I hope to meet my future husband there one day.
Oh, good idea. Good strategy.
I am a gold member with KLM and I fiercely protect that status just to keep lounge access. So I really agree with it. And also the packing, I do that myself as well, because I think you and I are very alike in terms of chaotic minds.
Yes.
And being last minute and a bit all over the place sometimes. And so what I've really learned for myself was to already put the suitcase there. And then every day I would add something. And then at the on the final day, I would pack everything nicely, but it would already be in one place. So I think these tips are really useful. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, you're welcome. And thank you for all the great questions. I appreciated it.
Thank you so much. And if people want to know more about you, where can they find you?
Okay, this is something I haven't told anyone yet, but I'm rebranding. So my name online used to be my first and last name, Ashley van Heininga. And from Monday on, I will be known under my company name called Era. I haven't shared it with anyone.
I've got the scoop. Yeah.
You've got the scoop. So my company name is Era. However, if you're not Dutch speaking, I am so sorry, but my content isn't actually translated to English. But if you are a Dutchie and you're listening, you can find me at thisisera.nl or just Ashley van Heininga at Instagram.
Great. I will include, yeah. I will include both the links so people can find you. Thank you so much for sharing all your tips and your perspectives on building a professional personal brand. And I'm sure that we will be seeing each other again because I love working with you.
Definitely. Yes. Definitely.
Great. Thank you so much.